I'm Hugh Dennis.
And I'm Marcus Brigstock. And with us are Jenna Friedman, Alice Sneddon, Karen Bartke, Josh Berry, and Johnny and the Baptist. And this is...
The Noel Show!
From the Edinburgh Festival Fringe.
So, welcome, yes, to the BBC Blue Tent at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. Now, unfortunately, Steve Punt can't be with us this evening. He volunteered for an Irish backstop technology trial, and he suffered an allergic reaction to the barcode they tattooed on his forehead. So, in his place, we have Marcus Brigstock, who, in the true spirit of the Fringe, will be running off halfway through to do a better-paid gig. So... summer used to be a silly season, a time for the media to focus on ridiculous news stories like kids jumping in the air holding exam results, great white sharks in the Moray Firth, or the US president trying to buy Greenland.
Meanwhile, in the real world, Donald Trump is trying to buy Greenland. There are several possible explanations for this. It could be a basic misunderstanding of how countries are owned. He saw that Iceland was listed in the FTSE 100 and just got confused. Or it's possible Trump may have been given one of those themed versions of Monopoly where you try to buy countries and your former friends keep getting told to go directly to jail. To be fair to Trump, the United States has bought parts of countries before. They purchased Louisiana from France, Alaska from the Russians, and will be buying the NHS from us on the 31st of October. Denmark have, of course, said no to selling Greenland, and Trump has cancelled his visit there.
Which is a shame, because they'd already made preparations. They were going to make him take his shoes off at airport security and cover the entire floor with bits of Lego. Cunning UK investors are also hoping to cash in on his disappointment, though, by offering him the chance to buy Lakeland.
This is the greatest spiralizer in the world. Bigly fantastic. Phenomenal vegetables on both sides.
The real reason for Trump's offer is that the melting ice in Greenland will uncover vast resources which have never been accessible before. And you know what happens when a country has a valuable resource that another country wants access to?
And I say to the people of Scotland, I will support this ancient and historic union until they tow the last oil rig back to Aberdeen, after which I'm not bothered.
To which Nicola Sturgeon said...
I would like to thank the Prime Minister for finally saying something that I actually believe.
As if the news wasn't already bad enough, the Amazon rainforest is now on fire, and so's the Arctic. So basically, August is as depressing as every other month. There is no silly season this year. Although, having said that, Andy Murray has just won the Rear of the Year award, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm really delighted to win this award. You know, I'm absolutely delighted. It's really, really great to be recognised as the best-known arse in tennis. After Nick Kyrgios, obviously.
To be fair, Nick Kyrgios isn't here to reply.
So. Shut up, you weak-hipped pommy bastard!
Oh, turns out he is. So summer's just as depressing as the rest of the year, especially if you're going back to school, as now is the time to stock up on much-needed supplies like pens, highlighters, protractors and insulin.
Yes, no deal looms, and having been told for years that there is no magic money tree, Boris Johnson is suddenly showering cash everywhere, including promising 20,000 more police on the streets to provide a quicker response the next time he has an argument with his girlfriend.
And these obvious election campaign promises are only likely to increase following the leak of the government's no-deal contingency plans in the form of Operation Yellowhammer. It's fair to say that the report didn't paint a particularly rosy picture. In fact, it painted Edward Munch's The Scream. Drug shortages, food shortages and chaos at the ports, made worse by a lack of warehouse space because by the end of October we'll be very nearly halfway through the festive season.
To help us out, musicians from across Africa are releasing a charity record called Didn't They Know It Was Christmas? The leak of the Yellowhammer report and its predictions, of course, made the government furious. First, Michael Gove said...
There are bound to be a few bumps in the road.
Then they said that the report was old.
It was apparently dated the beginning of this month. And then they said it was irrelevant because the thinking in it was old.
Which is a very dangerous criticism given the average age of the Tory party membership. It's also why the membership aren't bothered by the end of free movement. In my experience, free movement starts to go in your 30s. And then... and then it's a very long, slow, painful decline.
Of course, the main Brexit problem is the backstop, the same one Boris supported when he voted for Theresa May's deal, until not supporting it was a more helpful option for his career. So he now says...
It is anti-democratic.
Yes, and that's coming from a man elected to the premiership by 0.13% of the population.
The UK isn't offering any new solutions to the border problem, but Boris has accepted Angela Merkel's 30-day challenge, so he's probably even now asking some young whiz kid advisor to make up some imaginary technology which will magically solve the backstop.
OK, Angela, you asked for the solution, and this is it. This technology is foolproof, all-powerful, and fully tested. It is omniscient, omnipotent, and no one can escape its power. Go on!
Ja, aber was ist...
An Infinity Stone!
And does anyone currently use this?
Yes, indeed. Thanos.
And what is that?
No idea. A Greek island, I think.
I personally think that the answer to the backstop is much more simple. If you don't want lorries to have to stop at the border, just get customs officers who are good at running.
Solved it. Meanwhile, faced with all of this, Remainers and anti-no-dealers are still scrabbling around, desperately seeing who might get together with who and for how long. It's all faintly reminiscent of something.
Welcome back to Love Island of National Unity. It's the second week in the Westminster Villa, and Jeremy Corbyn has pulled George Swenson in for a chat to see if they might couple up.
I know what you're thinking, Jeremy Corbyn. You think I'm, like, mugging you off.
You are, Joe. I couldn't be more of a mug if I was filled with Art Bovril. But I've been grafting for you, going, like, full factor 50, and you're not giving nothing back.
Look, I know that you're loyal, Jeremy. I'm just not sure who to.
Well, so you'd rather get into bed with Ken or Harriet than get together for a quick administration? I promise I won't last long. You'll hardly notice me.
It is what it is, Jeremy. You might want to try your luck with Nicola Sturgeon. I hear she'll couple up for no-no deal and a second indie ref.
I'll best crack on then.
I heard that. And it does not mean I don't think you're a total melt, whatever that means.
To be fair, some of the billions Boris has pledged to spend is going to good causes. The UK has just lost its official World Health Organization free of measles status, so some of it's going on a campaign to convince people to get the MMR vaccine before the disease spreads further.
Although, as Michael Gove pointed out,
there are bound to be a few mumps in the road.
I think that's all it deserved. Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, would you please put your hands together for a US comedian? You all know her from her appearances on The Late Show and her own TV show, Soft Focus. It's Jenna Friedman!
Hi. It's so nice to be here in Scotland. As an American, it's just great to be anywhere. I'm 25 times less likely to get shot. Cool, thanks for laughing. Not a joke. We've had a rough couple years in America watching a foreign power meddle in our democracy. It's been frustrating watching a foreign power meddle in our democracy because messing with foreign democracies is kind of America's thing. Cool. If you go to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, right now, you'll see angry CIA agents at the bars being like, immigrants are taking our jobs. And you should go to D.C. if you've never been, especially now. It's quite edgy. It's kind of like you're in the movie Cabaret. But without the cabaret, just the Nazis. Cool. I'm just trying to put Brexit in perspective, okay? What is Brexit? Is it like Fyre Fest for pensioners? Is Brexit like if your parents won't let you date that cute Greek guy because he has no money, so then you're like, I'm going to date the responsible German guy, and they're like, no, you're going to sleep with your cousin. Is that what Brexit's like? When I was in high school, it was a very hot summer day. A friend and I went to get ice cream. She ordered a vanilla soft serve cone. The girl behind the counter started making the cone. The cone started to drip. And out of the corner of our eyes, we saw the girl lick the drip. And then she handed the cone back to my friend with a visible tongue mark in it. And my friend asked the girl, did you lick this? And the girl said, no. So then my friend just took the ice cream, paid for it, and ate it anyway. Is that what Brexit's like? Hey, well, at least you guys don't have some creepy clown with moppy blonde hair and access to the nuclear codes about to mess up your democracy. Oh, wait. Sorry, you do. What do you call him? Tesco Trump? Boris McBoatface? Not democratically elected? I don't know. It feels like the bad guys are winning right now. I can't even watch the news anymore. I've started watching sports instead. Just to remind myself that powerful men can still lose. Something else my friends have been doing to calm themselves in these difficult times. A lot of my friends are turning to astrology to cope. I think astrology is a really good tool for people who don't have agency. Hey, you never see finance bros checking their horoscopes. It's never high-powered corporate lawyers Googling astrological compatibility. No, it's always just your saddest, loneliest female friend who also happens to be my target demo, so I have to be careful with this joke. It's always your saddest, loneliest female friend who has her own page on Etsy where she knits scarves for cats. Being like, everything's crazy because Mercury's in retrograde. And you're like, okay, Carla. Or maybe it's because you didn't vote. Carla, maybe it's because you listened to Susan Sarandon and her stupid dog and didn't vote. Please vote, everybody. Vote in every election you ever have. Please, please vote. I know I sound like I'm on a soapbox, but we'll all be on a soapbox when sea levels rise. We have a very scary election coming up. 2020 in America could be our last. It's for real. We have a lot of really exciting Democratic candidates, some really cool, accomplished, progressive female candidates, and then two old men on the precipice of death. Who's it going to be? Probably Biden, which is fine. I'm totally into Biden. I just hope his running mate is a dialysis machine. I like them all. My personal favorite, though, I do love Elizabeth Warren, just because I think she'll be the best man for the job. You're right, she's not a man, but if we start telling people that, maybe it'll work. So I'll vote for any Dem over Trump. I'll vote for anyone. I'll vote for anyone over Trump. I'll even vote for Sarah Palin over Trump, and she's not a Democrat, and she's not even running. But this past year, I was like, maybe Sarah Palin should be president. And I realized that when I read about Trump's administration being accused of drugging undocumented children at the border, and my first thought was Sarah Palin would never drug someone else's children. And the reason I know that is because she couldn't even give her own daughter birth control. And okay, to be fair, Donald Trump is not Hitler. Hitler served in his military. If anything, Trump is kind of like Bin Laden. Just in the sense that they both use their daddy's money to mess up New York skyline. Okay, I have one more. I know what a lot of you are thinking. You're thinking, Jenna, why don't you run for president? Yes, I would love to run for president. But here's the thing. In America, you've got to be 35 to be president. And as a woman in entertainment, I'll never be that age. Thank you. Have a good night.
Currently touring her show, Miscarriage of Justice. Ladies and gentlemen, Jenna Friedman.
So with Greta Thunberg in the Atlantic, increasing extreme weather everywhere and the Amazon on fire, we decided we needed to talk to someone who knows about climate change. And who better to talk to than an environmental researcher at the Institute for Sustainable Resources with a PhD in climate change policy, who is also a stand-up comic. Would you please welcome Dr. Matt Winning?
Hello.
Hello, Matt. So you do a show about climate change.
I do.
Sounds very jolly.
Oh, pretty cheery stuff.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well. It's going pretty well. The show's called It's the End of the World as We Know It. I was actually going to call it It's the End of the World as We Know It, brackets, and I feel fine, brackets, Only joking, I'm a climate change researcher. But too long for the brochure, it turns out.
And what do you do when you're not a comic, though? You're an actual researcher into climate change. So what do you do? What does that involve?
So I had a paper about the Paris Agreement and how we've actually... It's going to be pretty cheap now to meet the Paris Agreement because the costs of solar and wind power have come down so much over the last few years. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the first 6 months of this year, because of Scotland's potential, we've actually generated enough wind to power two Scotlands. In the first half of this year, and nobody needs two Scotlands.
What do you do personally? What would you recommend that's within reach for most people?
Start with what you can do. So I've changed my diet recently. I've cut down my meat and dairy. I now only drink oat milk, which is really weird when I have it on porridge. Because it's like oat on oat. I feel like the most Scottish man in the entire world.
I spent a bit of time being vegan and found it made me so gassy I was capable of flight. Scotland have led the way in a lot of this stuff. Do you think Scotland are getting it right in having so few sunny days during the summer? That must be helping a bit.
Another sort of Scottish angle on it is that Scottish school children are now only allowed to take one day off a year, isn't
one day
in order to protest.
And I'm really behind the youth strikes. I'm annoyed that they call them the youth strikes though and not the miners strike.
It has to be said, they have led the way on this in France, where protesting is part of the core curriculum.
Because they're burning stuff, aren't they? And that can't be right.
I think, we need to make it part of the exams. You know, this exam is 50% oral, 20% written, 30% chaining yourself to a lorry.
And after this gig now, how will you get home?
I'm going to catch a private jet.
That's excellent. Where do you live?
Just Glasgow.
Thank you very much for coming
yes,
on.
Indeed.
Not at all.
To us. Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you.
And Matt is performing his show, It's the End of the World as We Know It, at 4:25 at Pleasance Below.
And now, would you please welcome, fresh from her fantastic Edinburgh Fringe show, Absolute Monster, and all the way from New Zealand, it's Alice Sneddon.
Hello. The big news this week, obviously, we're all talking about it, no one can keep quiet about it, it's the end of Leo season. Yeah, perfect. Oh, that is the big news. That's the big news for me because I am a Leo. Thank you. Hold your applause. Incredible, I know. For those of you who don't know what Leos are, I'll give you a brief rundown. So basically, astrology is the study of the stars and the idea that when we were born and the relationship between those two things in some ways predetermines parts of our personality. And the people who specialize in this, they are called unemployed. And I'm a Leo, and I'm not going to say it's the best star sign, but that is what I'm imagining you're all thinking. They've got quite a few positive traits, and I've got a bit of time, so I'll run you through them. They're humorous, clearly, cracking you up. Okay, fair enough. They have a lot of self-confidence, which I think is true of me. I have a lot of self-confidence. I have the type of self-confidence that once when I got really high with two of my best friends and then super paranoid that they were trying to kill me, my main concern was that should they try, they wouldn't make it out alive. I have the kind of self-confidence that sometimes when I'm on holiday in Europe, because I'm doing well... Obviously, a much bigger brag when I say it in New Zealand. Sometimes when I'm on holiday in Europe, I will voluntarily get a caricature of myself done. Do you know how much inner strength that takes? Because what is that if not just asking a complete stranger to roast you on your appearance? So being, I'm so sorry to interrupt. Would you just mind identifying in me the things I am most vulnerable and insecure about? And then if you could just exaggerate those in illustrative form up on a big piece of paper where passers-by can see it, and then they can just see me sitting there for reference. And then once I am the shell of a person, I will pay you to take it home. But it's lucky because I have a lot of self-confidence. I can do that. You know, I think quite highly of myself. And I know that because when I was in high school, I used to get school reports that would say things like, Alice is yet to reach her full potential. And I would read that and just think, how much better is this going to get? Like, it's already going pretty well. What are you seeing me teach, you know? So I've always thought well of myself until recently I got some quite devastating news, if I'm honest. What I found out is that I have the lowest Uber score of anyone I know. I discovered my Uber rating is a 3.4. Whoa, easy, I'm still in the room. Mind your manners. Yeah, 3.4. A 3.4. A 3.4. A 3.4. My friend had sex in the back of an Uber and she's got a 4.2. I couldn't believe it when I found out. So I went online to some Uber driver forums because I was taking the news well. And what I discovered is that Uber drivers consider anything a 4.6 and below to be a problem passenger. Obviously, I was reeling when I got the news, and I said to my friend I was complaining about it, and she said, well, what are you doing in there? Are you shitting in the car or something? Like, no, I'm not shitting in the car. And don't you think if I was, I'd at least have the intelligence to be like, you know what? The 3.4? It's probably the shitting in the car. If I had to point to one thing in particular... Even then, that wouldn't make sense because an Uber score is an aggregate of every Uber you've ever been in. So by that logic, I couldn't just poo in one car and tank my rating. I'd really have to be making a habit of it, you know? I'd have to do it in, like, at least every second car. Obviously, when I got the news, I went through all the stages of grief, you know, denial. I was like a 3.4. That's still 68%, you know? If I were a politician, you'd call that a landslide victory. And then I was like, well, I could just try and make it better. I'll win them over with my personality. So I started talking to all my Uber drivers, and that just tanked it further. And I was like, okay, if I can't change this, I've got to find the silver lining. So I thought about it, and I discovered there is a silver lining to this whole situation, because what I realized is that when you have a 3.4 Uber rating, now... the only drivers who will pick me up are the ones who want to see what kind of sick monster is on the other side. So I've put myself in this unique position of being maybe the only woman ever where the Uber driver is more afraid of me than I am of them. I've basically discovered the only safe way to travel. So if you're a woman who's afraid of going home alone at night, just poo in every second car and you'll be absolutely fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alice Levy, whose show Absolute Monster is on at the Pleasant Courtyard at 9:45.
And now, taking a break from their Edinburgh show, whose title is so juicy, editorial policy forbids us from saying it. Oh, what the hell, I'm a fellow Fringe performer, I'll say it. It's called Love Edinburgh and Hate Bastards. Please welcome Johnny and the Baptists.
Hello. Well, with no deal on the horizon, it looks like many of us are going to need a way of finding some extra income. So, Paddy and I have decided to quit being political comedians and become full-time con artists. This next song is therefore about hustling, about grifting, about stealing money from the super rich and redistributing it back amongst ourselves. Mm.
It's not socialism, it's just a bit of fun.
Just fun. Yeah. The first big con, we make black pudding, but not just run-of-the-mill black pudding. This is top-grade exclusive black pudding, because the blood comes from the Queen. Every single night she inserts a valve into her left arm at 11:45, draws a pint of royal red, sticks it on a shelf, then we steal that blood from the Queen. Mix it with oats from Dutchie's Original. It's certified organic with the royal sigil. Hang it for a month to congeal and mellow. Sell to royal sycophants like Julian Fellows. 600 grand for a regal sausage spiced with truffles Princess Anne has foraged. The price is so high due to limited supply. If we make too much, then the Queen might die. But here's the grift. It was never blood from the Queen. It was our blood with some corgi blood thrown in. It's just commoner's blood that these billionaires fight, mixed with some of Prince Philip's that we got from the crash site. Too soon! This is how we grift the super rich, and we'll definitely do it just as soon as we work out the difficult bits, cause Dragon's Den turned us down. The next big con is a real humdinger. You'd never expect it from two left-wingers. Sounds pretty bad. Please bear with us. We legalize fox hunting. Would you wait?
Wait.
We go to Parliament, grease the wheels of the government, charge $100,000 for every hunt, then we keep that money for ourselves. Hold on.
Wait.
But here's the grift. We've been training foxes to use blowpipes and darts, and all the dogs have hand grenades and work alongside their fox comrades. This is how we grift the super rich, and we'll definitely do it just as soon as we work out the difficult bits, like training several million foxes and making sure no one tells the horses, cause all horses are scabs.
The world can be a troubling place, so we've asked our audience, in these uncertain times, what is your technique for staying positive?
I touch my tongue on a 9-volt battery.
Preparing for post-Brexit food prices, I go shopping in Waitrose.
In these uncertain times, what is your technique for staying positive? My Canadian passport.
Well, thank you for those ideas. Thank you for listening. And good night. You've been listening to The Now Show, starring Hugh Dennis, Marcus Brigstocke, Alice Sneddon, Jenna Friedman, Karen Bartke, Josh Berry, Matt Winning and Johnny and the Baptists. It was written by the cast with additional material from Suzanne Cassidy, Max Davis, Mike Shepherd and Catherine Bringworth. The producer was Matt Strong, and it was a BBC Studios production.